Today I'll be talking about mentorship, but I'm going to be talking about mentorship from a Portuguese perspective. So what this simply means is that I'm going to be sharing my own experience as a protege to a mentor. And I hope that this will actually help you make that decision about choosing a mentor for yourself. And you would also get to know the things you should look out for and the red flags you should also avoid when you decide to choose and or approach your mentor. So that being said, let's dive right into it. For me, I think there are different times in my life when I decided that I wanted a mentor, and there were also so many times that I went about it the wrong way. I mean, first of all, I think we've all heard about who a mentor should be to you, how to choose your mentor, how to approach your mentor, blah, 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 blah. All of those things are fine. But you see, the main thing is how to approach your mentor and what to do with that relationship. And that's where a lot of us actually do the wrong things. Let me share how I met my mentor, and I want to believe that you will learn a few things from that. So I had some people in mind that I wanted to approach. I approached some. Some said no, they're not available. Some did not respond. So you can imagine how I felt. And you know, you someone decided to ask someone to be a mentor, and the person says no. But one of them actually gave very good reason. He was actually not going to be available to take that role for me, and felt like he was not the best person to give me what I really wanted. So one thing you need to be able to single out, or one thing you need to know, is why do you want a mentor? Do you want a mentor because everybody's having a mentor? Or do you want a mentor because there's actually something in your life that you want to become an expert at, or you want to groom yourself to understand better? And then you have seen someone with like a not perfect example, but a close to perfect example that can actually guide you through the way. So there are a lot of people that could be like an embodiment of what you want to be, but they might not be able to guide you through the path. So choosing a mentor, you need to choose someone that is actually able to guide you through that path. So it means the person has to be available for you, and the person has to be willing to go share their experiences with you and guide you to the path of building your career path. So I eventually sent a message. I think it was a mail. I sent an email to my mentor now. Like it was not my mentor. I sent an email and I stated that I would love for him to become my mentor. And I think I also stated why I wanted him to be my mentor. Anyway, I just used the formal approach, and that's another thing to meet. Mentorship is formal. I know, yes, a lot of people could actually, I'm speaking in the context of career development now. People have mentors in other spaces, like for their marital life, spiritual life, and all that. But I'm speaking about the career development sphere. I believe that mentorship in that area should actually be formal, very formal. And it's not because you don't want to loosen up and be yourself and all of that. It's just because when you have a formal approach, it sends a message to the person that, okay, this person is serious and this person must take my time about it. Okay, so this is cut two. Yes, so I sent an email to my mentor and I stated why I wanted him to be my mentor, and what I was looking out to gain from him. And it took him a while to respond, and to be honest, I think I was getting ready for another no. So I'm going to tie this to the first time I actually got a no. At first I felt somehow, because I felt like, okay, maybe they said no because they didn't, I wasn't good enough or something. But then again, when the person that said no gave me the reasons why he actually said no, I understood that when people tell you no, they can't do this for you and they're not in the capacity to do this for you, it has nothing to do with your self-worth or your self-esteem. It just means they can't do it at that time of your life. Which also means that you need to respect people's choices, and you need to respect why people do the things the way they do it. So sometimes nobody, sometimes you don't deserve an explanation. That's just respect the difference. But of course, this person was like, I'll always be available for you. You can reach out to me whenever you have problems. And this person had actually been available for me. And I think at that point in time, the person was actually living in the country. So for me, I understood and I decided that, okay, I was going to approach someone else. And then when I sent email to this person, it took a while. And then I followed up. That's another thing you need to do. You need to show that you're really going to be invested in that relationship. Because sometimes you can just say, I have a mentor. And then for like 3 months, you're not talking to your mentor, or there's no objective, or there's no real thing you're doing, and you know, following through. It doesn't work that way. So you need to show that you're committed, and you show that often by following up, to still show that yes, you really want this thing. And later on, I think I got to know that the person was actually doing a background check on me to actually know. Well, I don't know what to say to look at, well, of course, nobody wants to waste their time, especially people that are in high places. Nobody wants to waste their time, nobody wants to waste their resources, nobody wants to get into a relationship with someone that, or have a protege that does not, is not respectful, or that will not respect their time. So these are also things that you need to think about when you decide that you want to approach somebody to be your mentor. Are you going to be respectful? Are you going to be available? Are you going to do what they ask of you? Well, regardless of how hard it is, are you going to do those assignments and then follow up? After a while, of course, he accepted. He said yes. It wasn't the proposal, but my mentor agreed to for me to be his protege. And so we had a format. We had the days we communicated, the time we communicated, how frequently we communicated, and then we had time for checkups. Yes, it was a serious thing. In fact, I had a book. So if my mentor says that we are talking on Wednesday by 2 p.m, I am available by Wednesday 2 p.m. I broke my calendar. It's not that I'll now say, oh, I want to go out with Tostos, or I want to go and see a movie with Tostos or something. Most my mentor says that 2 p.m. is 2 p.m. In fact, like at least 5 minutes before 2 p.m, I am ready with my pen and my paper, questions I want to ask. And yes, for the first time you might feel that, what questions should you ask? Ask whatever is on your mind, whatever is bugging you, whatever you need to know. And the truth is that by the time you ask your first, second, and third questions, the conversation would evolve on its own. Because when you say this, your mentor is saying this, and then you're like, oh, okay. Then you ask, okay, how did you do this? Or how long did it take you to do this? Why did you do this? Did you regret this? So with that, you ease in into the conversation. But I'll always say that before you have a conversation with your mentor, always make sure that you have your questions ready, or whatever issues you want to solve. Another thing you also need to make sure you do often is whatever they ask you to do, do it. This is just reminding me of when Mary, when Jesus told water to go, before he told water to do, and then told us, whatever they ask you to do, do it. Whatever they ask you to do, do it. Whether or not it makes sense to you, just do it. If they give you an assignment, do it. I think there was a time my mentor asked me to fill a whole document about my self-development. And it was for me, it was a lot. Because I felt like, why am I doing all of this writing and typing and this and that and that? But I did it. It was not easy. I did it. And when I did it and we had a conversation about it, I was able to see the reason why he asked me to do it. Yes, when he told me to do it at first, he gave a reason. But for me, I felt like it was too much work. But I did it. And then when I did it, I said I was happy that I actually gave the time to do it. So whatever they asked you to do, please do it. Because it also shows that you're committed to learning. Another thing I would say is that you should learn to give back. Yes, your mentor is giving you his or her time, sharing his or her experience. Yes, you might feel that, yes, they've made it in life. What can you possibly buy for them? You that are just trying to understand your career path. They made it in life at the top of their career. Give back. It doesn't have to be something big. It's the thought that matters. If it's your mentor's birthday, send a gift. If an occasion at home, maybe with a family, send a present. Or just give back as much as you can. And it's well, it shouldn't be too frequent. Let's not be that every week you're buying something for your mentor. No, but at least give back. And sometimes you're not giving back physical gifts. This could be your skill, or you find out that your mentor needs help with something. Decide that you're going to help them with it and actually do it. Don't promise and then you do not deliver. Like, that is really you shouldn't do that. We all know that you shouldn't do that. So like, even if it's your skill, you're good at something, give back to your mentor as often as you can. One thing I'll also like to talk about is, it's not every time that your relationship with your mentor would end up in friendship. Yes, sometimes there was a time I also had someone that actually issued me job posting now, and she just decided that she was going to mentor about 12 ladies on Instagram. I saw it on Instagram, I applied and I followed up with it, and she was really of tremendous help. And true, some of those relationships might not become you're not qualified with a mentor, whatever. It might remain strictly professional and strictly, like, it might just be on that level, respect it. Which also brings me to the point of respecting boundaries. Now, this is two-way. I'll explain what I mean. Now, I don't want to mix up things too much, but when it comes to boundaries, you need to respect boundaries. You need to respect boundaries. Let me take us a few steps back. Now, to choose your mentor, there are three things you need to look out for. The values of the person. If you have conflicting values, it's a problem. If you trust the person to as well, and can the person also trust you? So it's a two-way thing. And finally, understanding. Do you understand the person? Does the person understand you? So values, are your values conflicting? They should not conflict. The trust, it should be two-way. Whatever your mentor tells you stays with you, except they tell you to share it. You don't go about sharing it except they ask you to share it. And then finally, what's the other? Understanding. Understanding. You need to understand your mentor. Your mentor should also make an effort to understand you. So these things are actually going to flow into the boundaries that you have with them. And that's, and I'll speak from your perspective as a protege. You need to respect your mentor's time, respect your mentor's space. Respect their time, respect their space, respect their words, respect their person. Respect their time, respect their space, respect their person. If your mentor says you meet at this time or you submit something at this time, by all means possible, make sure that you are not even a minute late. Make sure that you are not a minute late. In terms of space, respect your mentor's space. The fact that the person is your mentor doesn't mean that you're just everywhere. Respect their space. Actually, whether they are married or not, respect their space. Like, it is because sometimes I was speaking with someone that I respect so much, and this person serves as my coach. I think on another video I'll talk about having a coach and what it means to have a coach. And one thing this person said is the fact that people tend to abuse access a lot. You feel that because you're talking to this person, then, you know, you can do whatever you like around them, or you can just walk in, you can just walk into their office anytime, call anytime. No. When you have gotten to that level, you will know that you have gotten to that level. But even when you have gotten to that level, still use your common sense to know that, regardless of the fact that I'm close to this person, I still need to respect their space, and respect their person, respect their personal lives. Like, mind your business, be respectful. Do not call at odd hours or call at unusual hours or try to send a message at unusual hours. Even if they say, yes, you can text me anytime, some people will say it, which is good. It is now for you to decide to use your common sense to decide that I am going to respect this person's personal life. And this is a point where a lot of young people miss it, because once there's that familiarity, you now feel like, you just want to be doing rubbish. Please, it is very important, because that can actually mother relationship and reduces to nothing. And then after this, you also need to know when it's time to walk away or stay. Now, there are some times that yes, the relationship continues over time, but there are times where for some reasons the relationship comes to an end, or you just sense that yes, that you've got, it's just a natural sensing that okay, yes, you've been reporting weekly, yes, and your mentor can say, I think you've grown enough to be able to handle certain things by yourself, so maybe we'll talk once in a quarter or once in 6 months, something like that. You need to understand that it's like a child, like when you give it to a child for the first time, the mother is not chewing and all of that. After a while, the child might have to go to boarding school. After a while, my child decides to go to college. After a while, the child gets married and leaves the house. Like most of us are left our mother's houses. So just see it as a part of growth. And understand that it doesn't mean in any way that you've stopped learning anything. It's just there's time for everything, and you're understanding the season in which, at which you're at and how to respond appropriately to that season. Between a mentor and a coach. So mentorship is really broader. Coaches are usually more specific and specialized, and a mentor uses their experiences, you know, they share their skills, experiences, things that have happened, how they were able to do certain things. But coaches are more regulated, they're more fixated, you know, they measure your performance, they're usually mostly certified. Mentorships, well, it's based on your perspective most times, but usually coaches are usually specified, they're really skilled. A mentorship relationship can be more open-ended, but a coach is always, this is where we start, this is where we are going. And like I said, either of these relationships can actually evolve to you being friends, but if they do not, please also respect it. Alright guys, I hope this video has been of help. I tried to make sure that it's not as long because, you know, I get too used to this thing and try to, you know, but I really hope it has been of help. So if you have any questions, please feel free to post them in the comment section. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you can find me on Instagram at Nigerian Brazilian. You can just shoot me a DM. Alright guys, till the next one, keep winning.